There are many things that I love about this congregation. One of them is how honest and kind everyone is. You're so honest, I had one sweet lady come in this evening with a newspaper in hand. And she said to me, I brought this, and this it really was in her hand, by the way, big thick one too. And she said, I brought this newspaper in case I get bored tonight. I'll just open it up and read it during your lesson. So now she was kidding, of course. She brought it for another reason, but appreciate that so much. But I do. I love you guys. I'm so thankful to be here, and I'm glad that you chose to come this morning. I was unable to finish in the allotted time, and so tonight we'll be finishing up this morning's lesson. However, some of you may not have been here for that, and so very briefly, I'm going to put these passages and thoughts back on the screen just to bring us all back up to speed and allow those who might be jotting down some notes to get these first few points in. I've entitled the lesson, The Proverbial Home, because we're talking about principles or adages, wise sayings from Proverbs that will lead us, if we obey these eight rules, to a happy home. And so eight principles, eight rules that we were talking about. The first four had to do specifically, really, with the husband and the wife. The first rule was seasoned speech. That is, a word fitly spoken, Solomon says, is like apples of gold. There's a right way to say something that will provoke a good response, and there's a wrong way to say something that might provoke anger or sadness and be the opposite of a happy home. We talked about a soft answer, turning away wrath, not withholding a good comment to your spouse who might look beautiful today or something of that nature. And not just venting out our emotions, the final passage there, when something's on our mind, but doing it at the appropriate time and in the right state of mind. Seasoned speech. Our second point was the golden rule, doing to others as we want them to do to us. Always trying to make sure that we're not going in and, as the proverb says, and shouting with a loud voice in the morning as they wake up. If that's not something they enjoy, we don't do that to them. We talked about, in the third place, selflessness or humility. Getting in those debates and arguments sometimes, neither one of us wants to give in and concede to the other, and we just want to have our way and no other. In fact, after the lesson this morning, Brother Bill Horn came to me and he said, I think I would add something to that lesson. And now this is wisdom now. I said, all right, I'm interested to hear. And he said, you tell these husbands, see, they need to ask their wives, when they're in that predicament, that argument, ask their wives, honey, am I going to win this argument? And if she says no, then he just needs to let it go and concede to her. So that's good stuff right there. That's wisdom. So if you get in that argument, guys, you know what to do. But selflessness, humility, not being prideful, caring more for her than for yourself, and vice versa, more for him than yourself, ladies. And then finally, we talked about being content, being satisfied with what we have, not wanting to add to that or desiring things and being dissatisfied with such a great desire and not being content, not being grateful as we should. We talked about how Paul certainly had that content attitude. And so we get to number five. Now we're going to switch gears a bit with these last four and talk about the parents to the children in particular. And some of these you might say, especially this first one, how does this relate to the kids? But I'll explain in just a moment. Let's go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 to get our fifth rule. Give you a moment to get to Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read verse 9 together. Proverbs 11 verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Hypocrisy is what we're talking about here. I would call this last rule, or it's not the last one, but the first one tonight. You're not that lucky. Be consistent. Hypocrisy. Be consistent. Don't be hypocritical. Sometimes we get up in the morning, we put on our Christian outfit, our Sunday morning outfit, our suit and tie, gentlemen, or maybe our dress or skirt or dress pants, ladies, and we come to service and we put on the face of Christianity. We appear to be children of God, but it could be that when we go home and enter back into the world, not only do we put up our physical suit and tie or dress or skirt in the closet, but we might also put up our spiritual suit as well. We might go back into this world and be somebody different than what we appeared to be at services. Here's the problem with this, and here's where the kids come in. Parents, adults, your children know who you really are. You might hide that here at services. There may be things going on and at home that we don't know about here at the congregation, but your kids know. They see that. And that hypocrisy is going to rub off on them. You ever noticed what Paul said about Timothy? One of the reasons his faith was so genuine. Look at 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Speaking of the opposite of hypocrisy, of being consistent in the home. What a great example. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." The word unfeigned there literally means to be without dissimulation, to be without hypocrisy. Another translation would be genuine. He says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in thee. Why? He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Why was it that Timothy was not a hypocrite? Why was it that his faith was so genuine? Because it was first instilled in him from his mother, Eunice. Where did Eunice get that? Well, it was instilled within her, that consistency from her mother, from his grandmother, Lois. You see, it passed down to the little ones, and then again to the little ones. The consistency, the genuine faith, not the hypocritical faith. And see, in the home, if it's hypocritical, if that's the way we're being, a different person, we're putting on a different face, as it were, the real face probably, when we're out in the world of who we really are, the kids are going to see that. And that's going to influence them in a negative way. Romans 12 and verse 9 says, "Let love," speaking of the home and the family, "let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." I heard about some gentlemen who were at the airport. They were trying to catch a plane, some business guys, and they were running behind. In fact, they were rushing through the airport to get to where they could get on board right before this plane or the boarding opportunity was going to close. And as they were running together, four or five of them, they accidentally ran into a table, and there were apples on that table, and those apples went everywhere. Well, all of them kept running except for one man who turned to see who that affected. And it just so happened it was a young girl. And interestingly, he noticed that she didn't reach down to get the apples. In fact, she really just kind of looked straight ahead and began to feel on the table, and he realized that she was blind. It wasn't long before she became very sad. And so instead of getting on that plane, he stopped and he helped her pick up all those apples, put them back on the table, and he noticed that some of those apples were damaged. Some of them were ruined. And so he put them in a different location and he gave her money and said, "Let me give you a few dollars to make up for these apples that we damaged." He missed his flight, but he began to walk away. She hadn't said anything up to this point, but apparently she then said, "Mister," and he turned around and said, "Yes." She said, "Are you Jesus?" Wow. Could you imagine? Has anybody ever confused you with Jesus Christ? Probably not. This was a rare occasion in that she couldn't see this man. But because of his actions, the person that he really was, not like these other men who just went on and got onto the plane not caring about the harm they had done, he was truly a child of God. He really was Christ-like. And she asked him, "Are you Jesus Christ?" Has anybody ever confused you with Jesus because of the genuine faith that you have in this world? One more thing I want to mention about hypocrisy before we move on. Hypocrisy is very damaging. Now, keep in mind, sometimes I think people might use it as an excuse, but there's a lot of people who may be very serious in the fact that they don't want to come and visit this particular congregation because there's hypocrisy. There are people who are claiming to be Christians, but they've seen them out in the world and they know that they're not really living the Christian life. You can seriously affect someone's eternal salvation because of this idea of wearing the mask. We talked a little about that in Bible class, Larry did, about how serious it is to discourage someone else from being faithful to the Lord or coming. It reminds me of the man. He had a neighbor who was a farmer, and he invited him to come to church. And he said no, that he wouldn't come. This farmer said, "I'm not going to come because I know Billy Joe Bob at your congregation. I know he's a hypocrite. He's not interested in the church. He just shows face, and then you ought to hear the things he says." And disappointed, he went back home. Well, next week he went back over to his neighbor's house, who at this time, this farmer happened to be selling some pigs. And he said, "I want to buy a pig from you today." And he said, "Okay." And he picked out the smallest, the runt
of the litter.
The smallest pig that he had, he said, that's the pig I want. He said, are you sure? There's lots of healthy, good pigs. Why would you want the runt? He said, that's the one I want. Okay, so he sold him the pig, to which he put the pig in the back of his truck, and he said, now, he said, I want you to know that I'm going to go around town, and I'm going to show everybody this runt that you showed me, and I'm going to tell them that this is symbolic of your litter, of your pigs. The farmer said, well, that's not fair. I've got all these great pigs, and you're going to... And before he even finished his sentence, he realized what had just happened. He said, "If the guy responded, if it's fair for you to do that with the church, then it's fair for me to do that with your work, with your pigs." Friends, on a side note here, if you're being discouraged, and I've seen members of the church, I can think of one specifically not too long ago that I talked with, that just decided he wasn't going to go to church anymore because he was seeing what was going on, the hypocrisy he felt that was in the church. Maybe it really was there, maybe not. But it can affect people. And I want to encourage you, don't put all of your trust in the people alone. They'll disappoint you. We all make mistakes. We're going to disappoint. We're going to sin. And you'll be discouraged by that. But if you trust in God and you focus upon Him and realize that our brothers and sisters might make mistakes, they might fall away, they might even live a very hypocritical life. But that doesn't change the fact that the kingdom in itself, with God and Christ as its leader, as its king, is pure. And it is something to be a part of. Don't let that discourage you. Don't use that as an excuse. But at the same token, we need to be careful not to give that image that we are hypocrites. Because if we are, we'll be held accountable for that. Nathaniel Hawthorne said this, and we'll move on. I thought this was a good quote. No man for any considerable period can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true. You know, in the world, you may can debate as to who you really are, this person or that person. But when it comes to Christianity, it doesn't work that way. If you're 50% Christian and 50% of the world, then you're 100% of the world. God doesn't want you to be partially a living sacrifice. He doesn't want 50% of your service. He wants all of you. It's all or nothing. And so if you're wearing two masks, you're wearing the wrong one. Get rid of the mask and just be a true child of God. Consistency, and that will, of course, spread to your children. And I know that you want that very much. All right, let's go to the next rule. Rule number 6, Proverbs chapter 31 this time. Proverbs chapter 31. We're speaking, of course, here, ladies, of the virtuous woman. This woman, this wife, whose price is far above rubies. Read verse 27 with me. Proverbs 31, 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. This is talking about the wife, but certainly would be true of both the wife and the husband as well. What we're getting at here, the point we want to make, is to make time for family. Make time for your family. As you read through this and see how hard this virtuous woman is working for her family and how much time she's trying to spend with them and balance, taking care of business and being with them as well. But they're calling her blessed. Her husband is proud of her. Her children love her. They praise her. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7. As you're turning here, I want you to turn here with me. Put a marker there in Proverbs if you want. But as you're turning there, I want to talk a minute about this because I know that you and I both understand that we need to spend time with family. We get that. But let's take this a step further. Because there's a lot of good brethren, and I've thought about this before too, this mindset. I don't have children yet, but I think about what it would be like to be a father. And I try to talk about or think about within myself the kind of dad that I want to be if that happens one day. And what I want to do for him or her and so on. And what I would want my wife to be. And she certainly thinks of these things as well. But as you think about being a good father, a good mother, look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6 here. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, making time. Now, what I was getting at, I didn't even finish that. What I was getting at is we get this mindset of quality time versus quantity time. Okay? Quality time is very important, okay? I don't want to diminish that. We need quality time, especially with husbands and wives. That quality time without distractions is very important. We need that with the kids as well. But what sometimes might happen is we say that quality time is all that matters. And if I get 30 minutes to an hour of quality time in with the kids, that's good enough. And I don't have to worry about how much quantity of time that I spend with them. But here's the problem with that. Look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice what he says. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Where in that passage does God say you just need to make sure that you have a moment of quality time throughout the day with your children? No, he says you're teaching them. And this has to be a full, that not every waking moment of every day, but he gives four situations. He says if you're in the house, if you're in the way, that is outside of the home, going out, doing something, traveling, when you wake up in the morning, when you lie down at night. Time, quantity, lots of time. Why is that? Because I believe it's because we don't ever know, and parents, you don't ever know when those teachable moments are going to come. What happens when they're playing that game or watching that show on Disney or whatever they're doing, and they have a question? Something comes up that's confusing to them, and they have a question and you're not nearby to answer that. You miss that teachable moment. Maybe they're playing with a friend out in the yard and something comes up and something is said that shouldn't be said. And that child doesn't know whether that's good or bad, whether they should repeat that, and you're not there to take advantage of that teachable moment. Right? Could you imagine if, let's say police officers for a moment, could you imagine if they had that mindset? I'm not going to be out and about on duty. I'm just gonna come when there's a call, when a crime takes place. Right? What kind of nation would this be like if we had policemen that had that kind of mindset? Why are they always out and about patrolling? Because they're on duty. They're watching because you just never know when that crime's going to occur. The same is true to some degree with children. We need to take advantage of those teachable moments. Being close by, of course, when they're available. And I may not be a parent, but I was a child. And, you know, I picked on mom and dad. Now, most of you know this, but they're divorced now. It was adultery took place and they're not together. So I'm not talking about my stepdad. I'm talking about dad. But growing up, there was a lot of arguing and things that went on. There were some good moments too, though. Good moments too. I didn't mean to just pick on them in that regard. But I will say this. One thing they did right, among many, is that they talked with me, or they spent time with me in the family. I was not, never desolate of a family time. And that was so important to me, and it meant a lot. And I think that's so very important for our young people today as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 16, I'll just mention this one. You can turn there if you like. But Ephesians 5 and verse 16, Paul talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeem, buy back. Now you can't literally buy back your time that you've lost, but what's he getting at? You need to use your time very wisely. You need to take advantage of the time that you have with your children. Let's say for a moment that you had a bank account, that every day in that bank account was placed $86,400. Every day in that bank account. But here were the rules. You can't keep that money. You can't save it day by day. You can spend it now. You can pull it out and spend it every day. But at the end of the day, anything you don't use is going to be discarded. What are you going to be sure to do every day with that $86,400? You're going to get that money out and you're going to use it. You may give 99% of that to the congregation. You may help the needy. You may buy a new car or house, whatever you want to do. But you're going to get that money out of there. You're not just going to let it go to waste. Here's why I chose that number. If my math is correct, there are 86,400 seconds in a day. You are credited to your account that much time every day, every second of the day. And so here's the question. You can't save it. You can't roll it over if you don't use it properly. And so what are you going to do with that time? Well, we need to make the best use of it. Spend every second that we can making the best use of that time, not losing that time or wasting it. Many of you have probably seen, especially the young people now, if you're a young person and you've watched some of these movies, stay with me. Maybe you've seen Kung Fu Panda. Any of the kids seen Kung Fu Panda in here? I'm looking back there. Nathan says, I have. Okay, yeah. Kung Fu Panda. It's a cute little movie. It's very funny. But I love something that's said in that movie. Who knew you could learn from a crazy panda movie? But he says that this is a turtle that's like the master. It's like a ninja movie or something. But anyway, it's been a while since I've seen it. But the wise old turtle says this in the movie, and I like this. He says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. I like that. A lot of truth to that. You know, yesterday it's history. You can't change that. You can't deal with it. There's nothing you can do about it. Tomorrow's a mystery. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? You've got cash in hand, as it were, 86,400 seconds right now as a gift that you can do whatever you want with. And he says, that's why it's called the present. Speaking of cash in hand, I saw this quote as well. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is cash in hand. And if it helps us at all to look at it that way, then use that. Let it motivate us to make better use of our time. Time is money. You've ever heard that statement? It's so true. Time is money. It is important. It is so very valuable. It needs to be spent in the right ways. So let's make time for our families, from the oldest to the youngest. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 1. And this will go hand in hand with our last one. Proverbs chapter 1. From the very last chapter in Proverbs to the very first. Verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 1, 7 and 8. Our seventh rule. Here we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen to what your dad says, kiddos. Listen to what your mom says. Here's the point. Kind of tied in with the last one, I guess you might say. Talk about spiritual things. Sure, go out and throw the ball with your son, or go out and or go into the kitchen and cook with your daughter, or whatever it is that they like to do. But make sure throughout the day to take some of that time and talk to them about spiritual things. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6 again. What was the point of that passage? It was to teach them. Those teachable moments. We're talking, of course, about spiritual things. I found a survey, and I've mentioned this before, but I'd never seen these percentages. And I found this recently online and thought it might put into perspective for you as well. Kids, now, between the ages of young, old enough to go to school, and all the way until about 18, 1% of their week is spent in the church or around the church people on average. 1% of his days, or excuse me, his week is spent at the church. 16% of his week is spent at school. Where do you think the other 83% is spent? Of course, it's at the home. 83% of that child's life is going to be in the home. And so when I say, hopefully this will make it a stronger statement than it ever has been before, when I say that training happens in the home, that's why. Because that's where they spend the majority of their time. Bring them to services. That's so important. But services or the congregation is not responsible for training up those children. In fact, you know Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up your child in the way, I know some of you are quoting it with me. Train up your child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, does that mean that if you do everything right, there's no chance in the world that they'll fall back into sin? I don't think that's the case. But there's a principle here. If you do your job in training them up, there's a real good chance that they'll never let go of that. And if they do, it won't be because you didn't do your part. That word train, when I think of training, that's not something that just happens overnight. It's not something that happens in a few minutes. When you train, think about these athletes. When they train for what they do every day, hours upon hours, they're spending time training, working on their bodies, getting them in shape, working on their voices if they're singers, getting them in shape, to be the best at what you do. To be famous, if you will, in this world at what you do, you've got to train and train and train. You want to be the greatest parents in the world, spiritually speaking, you've got to train and train and train. Yourselves as well, I guess, included in that, but also your children. Talking with them about these spiritual things. Last one, and the lesson will be yours. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. God be thanked for godly parents who are willing to train up their children in the Lord. What a blessing. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Last rule, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. In other words, guard, which is the final rule. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. Everything that you say, everything that you do, goes through the heart, goes through the mind. If you're going to say it, you thought it first. If you're going to do it, you thought it first. Think about it this way. What bad word would you ever say if you never heard it? I mean, think about it. Where is it that you learn these bad things? How is it that the mind knows that there are bad things to do? Where do you get that? Well, it may be learning it from being taught. It could be that you saw it on television or a video game or the internet. It could be that you heard it in a song. But we need to guard our hearts. Look at the book of Matthew with me. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Powerful words from our Lord. Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus says, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entered in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" Right? That is, anything that you eat goes right through you. It gets digested and it leaves the body. We understand that. Verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." It's not what goes into the mouth that matters. It's what comes out of the mouth, which is a reflection of the heart. He says, "They defile the man." Verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Now, kids, that doesn't mean you don't need to wash your hands before you eat. Mom or Dad says wash your hands. It's still important. But it's not as important as what goes into the heart. Your heart dictates everything. Everything that you do comes from there. Again, when you watch that on television and you see those things and you're learning about those things, right? Dads, moms, we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard the hearts of the little ones as well. Right? Why is it that sometimes we... I've heard of someone, I've mentioned this before, who might listen to a song or watch something or play a game or whatever it is, or maybe they're even hanging out with friends and there's foul language all the time, but they don't even notice it. You know, you ask them about it and they say, "Well, I didn't even really notice that." Well, why is that? Because I've mentioned before this idea of being desensitized to it. Because they're not guarding their heart. They've just allowed it to be filled with this. It's just normal to them. It's not a big deal anymore. It doesn't affect them like it should. You say, you know, I'm in that situation and my heart is just filled with garbage, right? What do? I picture, when I think about the heart, I picture maybe like a pan or a filter. And in that, there is, let's take a bowl for example. Let's say that bowl has a hole in the bottom of it. And in that bowl is your mind. And in your mind is just garbage. It's filthy. It's disgusting, right? It's ruined, right? What do? Well, when you're soaking in spiritual things and you begin to focus more on them and begin to protect your heart, what's going to happen when you start to pour pure water down into that filth and it's filtering out the bottom? What's going to become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner? Before you know it, you've gotten rid of all that and you've got that pure, innocent heart once again. If you've got that garbage in your mind, adults, you've been around it, you've seen it, you can still get rid of that by focusing on spiritual things, filtering, guarding that heart. It's not by any means too late. So important. Proverbs 22 and verse 5, and then we'll conclude. One last proverb as we think about guarding the heart. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Verse 6 is the passage that says, "Train up your child in the way that he or she should go." But it's verse 5 right before it that says this: "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, for he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." Thorns, snares, the evils, the weakness of this world. He that keeps his soul, he that guards his heart, in other words, same idea. He that keeps it, guards it, is going to be able to be void of those things in his life. And then he says, "Train up your child in the way that he should go." What's the point? This last point connects right back to what we just mentioned. If we want to train our children, if you want to train your children in the way he or she or they must go, you've got to guard their hearts. Pay attention to what they're watching on the TV. I know we say that a lot, but it's real. It's serious. It matters. It really does. Even the very, you can be watching the cleanest show on television, but what's going to happen when it advertises? You just don't know what's going to come up. Maybe you need to turn it off for a minute. Maybe you need to pause it. If you know, most of us probably have DVR if you've got television. That's neat. You can pause it, fast forward through it, mute it, whatever you have to do. Protect those little hearts, those young people's hearts. I remember growing up learning things that, you know, Mom and Dad tried very well. They did very well to teach me a lot of things, but I learned some things from what I played on those video games, the violence and the language. I learned some things from what I saw on the television. And today, it's much worse. I mean, you can watch Disney Channel. You can watch Good Luck Charlie, and there's a homosexual relationship in the show. I mean, you've really got to be careful, and you've got to be ready to train up your child to talk to them about these situations. Guard their hearts. This country's future, and you know, you think about the country and recently with the voting and everything, the country's future, the church's future, the future in its entirety is based upon this generation. Some of the most wicked leaders, I think of Adolf Hitler and people like that, what was their goal? It was to get into the minds of the young people. If we can get into the school systems and put it in the books, if we can control them, we control the future. And that's exactly right. It's so important how we train this younger generation. And if you're like me, you say, I'm not a parent. Maybe some of you who are not parents right now, what can we do? We can still be a positive influence in helping these young people to guard their hearts, being good examples. So, so very important. If you're here tonight, one more quote. I'm sorry, I forgot about this. And you are here tonight, by the way. Let the mind of the master, I thought this was good. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. One final thought there before we conclude. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, it's time to fix that. Before really all these things we just talked about really matter, you've got to make sure that you're right. The one thing that you get to be selfish with is your salvation. You make sure that you're saved, that you're a child of God. If you believe He's the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, if you'll repent of sin, confess His name before men, and be baptized in that watery grave of baptism, having all those sins washed away, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22, 16, 1 Peter 3, 21, there's so many verses that we could reference that talk about just that. You can be a child of God, having those sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Maybe it is that you've done those things and sin is back into your life. Maybe you've not guarded your heart as you should, and it's time to do that. Maybe this is something private that you're going to take care of in a private way. That's okay, but repent of that. Turn away from that sin and make it right. If you need to spend more time with your family, do that. If you need to focus more on spiritual things in the home and talking about them, do that. If you've been a hypocrite and been discouraging those around you, fix that. Be more consistent. Whatever your need be tonight, if you need the prayers of this church, or our encouragement for any reason, we want you to come right now as we stand and sing together.